Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory.
Hey, JP.
So bright. So fair. When I entered the gate, I cried home. The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sight I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Then I said,
I know.
I want Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow low, my knees and cry, oh, I know. And as I entered the gates of that city, I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
I clap my hands.
that caller. I want to welcome all your guests tonight, and thank you for joining us at the Sound Doctor and Broadcast. This is your guest, Dr. Ventura, coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. And we want to thank all those who are tuning in. We apologize for the technical difficulties we had. You know, it's amen. If you're spiritual, you'll certainly grasp this. It seems to be that oftentimes, he can't get on the air. And it would seem that Satan would do everything he could, the principality and power of the air, to interfere either in our personal lives or in the radio broadcast, technical difficulties. And so, you know, I would ask the listeners that you pray for this program and you pray that the Lord would smash the strongholds the adversary sets up against us every week. Because, you know, and if you're a pastor out there listening, you think you have you know, they say there's demons that oppose pastors, pastors in the church. And let me tell you, they're on the radio. There's demons. I heard a preacher say one time that there were he thought there's demons on the radio. Those radio demons were bad enough to hinder him. He said, and then when he got on television, said it was twice as bad. You ain't seen nothing. Amen? Well, thank God that we're victorious in Jesus Christ. And you know what? We have the victory. Amen. And hallelujah for that. We serve a mighty God, and you know what? Anytime you get down to teaching the truth and talking about the scriptures, coming from that King James Version Bible, giving sound doctrine, giving the sense, knowing that it comes from the Holy Spirit of God, and that the message is correct, then what you end up with is you end up with the wonderful, wonderful fact that Satan is opposing you. And boy, amen for that, because if the devil wasn't opposing us, we wouldn't be having this show, that's for sure, because everything would be going right and nobody would be listening, amen? But the truth that I was going to speak about this evening are very deep spiritual truths, and they not only deal with the tomb, and I know that I posted, you know, what happened at the tomb, and I'm going to tell you what happened, and I'm going to give you an order of events. And so while I'm talking about that, you might grab a piece of paper and a pencil, because I'm going to give you a few verses to go with that. And then I want to talk to you about the day that Christ was crucified. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't know the Bible and have misunderstood the Bible and have been taught incorrectly the Bible. And they're teaching it and preaching it. And thank God for Jesus Christ, that we're able to, you know, praise the Lord and do the right thing. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Almighty God, for this time you've given us, God. We ask you, God, to set me aside and let nothing come out of my mouth, Lord God, that's of the flesh and is not of you. That you'd open the spiritual eyes and spiritual ears of those listening and give them wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and let them accept the truth. And then to search the scriptures, Lord, like the Bereans, to make sure it's true. And I thank you, Almighty God, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would like to take a scripture reading this evening. If you'd go over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll use that for the foundation here. And I know that, you know, it's 6:31 and a half an hour of the program is gone. And I know that we usually off the air by 7 o'clock Pacific time. And 9 o'clock, we begin on the East Coast. And so if you just kind of stick with us, I think it'll be worth it for you to hear the Word of God. You know, Preacher once said, better to drive 50 miles to hear the Word of God than drive 5 to be fooled. And I think the Lord has something for you tonight. Read over to Matthew 28, verse number 1, and I'd like to read through the first 12 verses. That in the end of the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn, so the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek it said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Amen. And as they went to, we're in verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, that's what the Lord said. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Amen. Amen. And so this is the morning of the resurrection. Now, there's some things we need to look at and understand before we understand what's really going on in the tomb. I want you to understand one thing right in the beginning. The first verse of chapter 28 tells you, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. In other words, the sun wasn't up yet. The sun wasn't up yet. And keep that in mind as we go along. Because we're going to get to the sunrise service. We're going to get to what happened there. And I know it's not going to be popular, but it's scripture. And, you know, you have my email. You have the station phone number. Feel free to call in if you feel you need to discuss it. But I would ask you to search the scriptures first and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and pray your prayer that God keep you in all truth. Amen. Well, I'd like you to have the order of events. When you take the order of events in the Bible, you must keep in mind this. When you're reading the four Gospels, and I've taught this before, and I've said this before. When you are reading the four Gospels, what you have to do is you have to remember that it's like a science book when you were in high school. They had biology books, maybe, perhaps you can remember. And the first page of that biology book, you would open up, and it would show you the human flesh. And the second part, you would open up, and it would show you the human muscle. And then you'd peel that page back, and you would see the veins. And then the next part would show you the skeletal system. And so that's how you have to read the four Gospels. Because if you read Matthew alone, and you read the accusation brought against Jesus Christ, you're not going to find the whole accusation written in the book of Matthew. You have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to discover exactly what was written over the cross of Jesus Christ. And so it requires study. It doesn't just say, King of the Jews. It doesn't just say, Jesus of Nazareth. You see? And so you have to go through that. And it's not a contradiction. Not one of the evangelists, not one of the apostles quote the entire scripture. The King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. Luke adds to this the further word. This is. John gives the additional word of Nazareth. So combined, that's how you have to find the whole scripture. You compare scripture with scripture, 1 Corinthians. Spiritual things with spiritual things. Thank Jesus. So what I'm saying to you is that when you read the gospel account, you can read all the gospels. It's what we call them the synoptic gospels, if you want a theological term. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, as it began to dawn. Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about when exactly Jesus Christ resurrected from the tomb. But first, we got to go over. We're going to look at what happened at the tomb. Well, here's what happened. The narrative is that the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they start out with a sepulchre. Heading for the tomb. They're followed by other women bearing the spices. The three shining stones rolled away. And Mary Magdalene rolled 12 into the tomb. Commander Rooster. You're getting background. Okay, so the three final things all the way. Mary Magdalene goes and tells the disciples. Now, I want you to write these verses down. Luke chapter 23, verses 55 through 20, chapter 24, 9. Also write down John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Now, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, draws near to the tomb and sees the angel of the Lord, Matthew 28, 2. He goes back to meet the other women following with the spices. Meanwhile, Peter and John, warned by Mary Magdalene, they arrive and they go away, John chapter 20, verses 3 to 10. Mary Magdalene returns weeping. She sees the two angels and then sees Jesus. John 20, 11 to 18. And Mary Magdalene and goes, as he told her, to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, meanwhile, she's met with the woman with the spices, and she's returning with them, and they see the two angels. Luke 24, 4, Mark 16, 5. They also receive the message from the angels. And going to teach the disciples, they're met by Jesus. Matthew 28, 8 through 11. And then, you have a lot of stuff going on at the tomb. It wasn't just that two people looked in the tomb and then Peter showed up later. I mean, people were coming and going and going and going. And why were they there? Were they, you know, some of them didn't believe. And you hear people say, well, you know, people in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross. And people in the New Testament, we look back to the cross. That's nonsense. If they were looking forward to the cross, why were they bringing spices to anoint Jesus Christ? They weren't looking forward to the cross. Salvation under the law was by work plus faith. Work plus faith. David said, judge me by my work. Judge me by my righteousness. Listen, we're judged by Jesus' righteousness. We're in the age of grace. We're saved by grace through faith with nothing. Amen? And so, if you don't know those things, you start reading these things, you can get yourself pretty well confused. And the kids to say confusion is not a God. But there are a few important points that I'd like to make this evening. One of the points that I want to make is this. John 19:14 says this, and it was the preparation of the Passover. Now, I'm talking before we get to the tomb. I'm speaking to you about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because there's people out there saying that Christ was crucified on Friday. On Friday. And they come up with the word Good Friday. And I have news for this. Wasn't a good Friday. Scripture says it was a bad Wednesday. It was a bad Wednesday. It's a, you know, it's a sad thing that we have people that are teaching things and they can't substantiate what they're teaching by the Scripture. And I mean by the Scripture. Not what Dr. Ventura says, not what anybody taught Dr. Ventura, except the Holy Spirit. What do the Scriptures say? That's the important thing for us to know. So, what I want you to see is this. Let me help you along. When you are using John, in John 19:14, you're using Roman time. People say, well, how does God keep time? Well, a Jew did not keep time like we do, like Gentiles do. In fact, when you open up the book of Genesis and you study the first chapter, you find out that when God called the firmament heaven and the evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning. Verse 5, back up, says, and God called the light day and the dark he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning. Verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the first day. verse 19, in the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, a Gentile keeps time from 12 o'clock midnight to 12 o'clock midnight. That's one day. So at 12:01, Sunday is Monday to a Gentile, to the Romans. To a Jew, he kept time from 6 p.m. at night to 6 p.m. at night. He did not use a solar calendar. He used a lunar calendar. And so a Jew was able to see that when the almond trees budded and the first full moon showed up, they knew that it was the month of April. They were in the beginning. Either the beginning and the end of April, beginning of March, by the full moon. And so they knew how to count the feast days from that first spring full moon. But they could see it when the almond trees budded. They knew, hey, it's springtime, and then that first full moon brought them to that date. But a Jew keeps time from 6 at night to 6 at night. And that's divided, the evening and the morning. And that goes from 6 at night to 6 in the morning, evening. 6 in the morning to 6 at night, morning. And each, you know, those 12 hours is divided. Now, let me explain it this way. Scripture says in John 19:14, and it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. Now, to you and I, the sixth hour, because we're counting time from midnight to midnight as one day, 24 hours, well, the sixth hour to you and I would be 6 o'clock in the morning. But to a Jew, you have a Roman time. It's very difficult to explain it because I want you to understand it. I'm trying not to complicate it, but John is using a Roman time. A Roman is a Gentile, and Gentile time, as I said, is 12 to 12, 24 hours. So to a Gentile, the 6th hour is 6 a.m. But a Jew, he's keeping time from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., 24 hours, as we saw in Revelation. We have four watches in the evening and four watches in the morning. They're seen as this. If you look at Mark 13:35, it says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., or at midnight, 9 p.m. to 12 p.m., or cock crowing, 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., or in the morning, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And so here you have four watches in the morning and four watches in the evening. Just as the Jewish evening, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. has four watches. 6 p.m., you go like this. Number one, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Number two, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So also does a Jewish morning have four watches. 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we're dividing those 6 hours into four quarters. That's what Jesus did. He called them four watches. So, again, the Jew has a 24-hour day, but he starts his day at 6 p.m., 24 hours, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. A Gentile starts his day 12 to 12. And Mark, when you're reading in Mark 15:25, Mark says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him in the third hour. Well, you and I know, if it's the third hour of the day, if you're counting time as a Gentile, that would be 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, Christ wasn't crucified 3 o'clock in the morning. So what is he talking about, the third hour? Well, the third hour of the morning to the Jew. Remember, evening, morning, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. to a Jew is evening. We saw that in Genesis. Evening and the morning. So 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. to a Jew is the evening. And then that's 12 hours. Then you have a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 more hours, evening. That's how God counts time. That's how the Jews count time. Remember, Gentile is from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. And here you have Mark, and Mark is counting in Mark 15:25. He's giving you the account the one that crucified Christ, and he says it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Well, he wasn't crucified at 3 a.m. Mark is counting Jewish time. It's 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Christ. Okay? The third hour of the Jewish morning, 9 a.m. Remember, the Jewish time is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. evening. 6 a.m., 6 p.m. morning. So Jesus is crucified at 9 a.m. Matthew 27, 45 and 46 says, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth. So the sixth hour, from noon until 3 p.m., cried with a loud voice. So Christ is on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 12 o'clock, darkness comes upon the earth for 3 hours until approximately 3 p.m. Sometime thereafter 3 p.m., the Jewish hour, before the 12th hour, which is 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. to a Jew, Matthew 27:50 says this. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So remember that Jesus Christ was arrested during the night, and he was tried at night. Remember, they arrested him in the garden. It's nighttime. At 9 a.m., Jesus is crucified, and he stays on the cross until sometime after 3 p.m., but it has to be before 6 p.m., because Jesus Christ must come off the cross before the end of that day. Roman Catholics and others teach that Jesus Christ died on Friday, and they call that Good Friday. That's not a correct teaching. It's contrary to all scriptures. All scriptures. Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday. And remember, this requires some study. And I have a saying, I tell people, don't be a Bible blocker. You know, be like the Bereans who received the word with all readiness of mind, search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul told you that for a reason in Acts 17:11. So what exactly did the scripture tell us? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. And that's your standard of study. That's your standard of life. This Bible, this King James Bible, this Word of God is the final word in faith and practice. Amen. For Christians. According to the scriptures, Jesus told the people. He told the Pharisees. He said, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:40. Now, Jesus Christ is specific. He's literal. 3 days, 3 nights. And I'd like to know, how do you get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday morning? You don't. It's not according to the scripture. Christ did not die on Friday. We're going to see why. Now, by Jewish law, a crucified person could not stay on the cross on a Sabbath day. And in Luke 23:54, we find these words. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath grew on. Now, Jesus died, according to Luke 23:54 and John 19:42. Jesus died, and the next day is a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath. And so here's where the big confusion is. Here's where Satan got a hold of this thing. Here's where Easter, which is a pagan holiday, gets in. Here's how it gets into the church. See? They want you to believe Jesus dies on Friday. And he rose Sunday morning, Easter. Not this, too, my brother. Saturday to a Jew is a regular, weekly, Sabbath day of worship for a Jew. The first day of the week is a Sunday. The seventh day of the week is Saturday. Look at the calendar. So you have Catholicism and others speaking, saying, well, it was the day before the Sabbath, therefore the Jewish Sabbath is Saturday, so Christ dies on a Friday, right? Wrong. W-O-R-N-G, wrong. The question is, what do the scriptures say? The question always has been, from the beginning of time, what did God say in the Garden of Eden? Genesis 3:1, Satan asked, yea, has God said? Well, what did God say? That's the question. That's why you have all these new Bibles. It's not what did. We know what God said. It's in the King James Bible. They give you another Bible, so you got to question it. So now you got an NIV, and I got this King James Bible, and now mine says this, and yours says that, so we got to go to the professor, and the professor's going to be the authority, and God's not going to be anymore. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Question the Word of God. And that's the question. What did God say? And so these people that want Christ to die on Friday, they do it so they can have a sunrise service. They have long ago incorporated, and you take my word for it, long ago they have incorporated the sun worship of Baal, worshiping onto their religion. They drew it into their religion. They have pictures of saints with yellow circles around their head. That's not a corona. That's the sun. They have communion with a round circle. It's a wafer shaped like the sun. They worship that sunrise service. You can find all that in the Bible. You can find that when the first tribe of Dan apostatized and got themselves a priest and dressed them and let them worship idols. And the people were worshiping for the Queen of Heaven, burning cakes, little round cakes. Lord, have mercy. Scripture says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not what you know that'll destroy you, my brethren. It's what you don't know. You don't know because you don't study the scriptures. You don't know because you think everybody that said, Lord, Lord, is of God. It's not so. Stop being fooled. You better go back 2 weeks to listen to the sermon. Have I fooled you, God? How do I know? Because the scriptures tell me so. That's how I know. Matthew 28:1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, Saturday, 6 p.m. is the end of the Jewish Sabbath, as it began day of the week. That's Sunday, the first day of the week. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Matthew 28:6 says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 28:1 in Matthew said, it was before dawn. That's before the sunrise. So you see, Jesus was crucified 3 days and 3 nights. He was crucified on a Wednesday and came off the cross on Wednesday night by 6 p.m., which starts Thursday. Now, wait a minute. Don't run away. Hold on. I'm not giving some mystery secret here. I'm going to show you why. If you know the feast days, you would understand it. Go over with me to Exodus, and you'll discover something. Let's look at the feast days and find out exactly what that Sabbath was. You see, some people think that to the Jews, Saturday was the only Sabbath they had. That's not true. That's not true at all, my brothers. There were more Sabbaths than just a Saturday. They were included in feast days. In the feast days, please, go with me to Leviticus 23:5, if you will. Go over to Leviticus 23:5. Let's just take a quick look at that. Leviticus 23:5. Before we go there, let's back up. Let's take it from the top of the chapter, Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation. That's a Sabbath, that convocation. Even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. That's Saturday. And holy convocation. Got that? A holy convocation is the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. It says 6 days work is done, the seventh day, that's the Saturday. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. Oh, there's other Sabbaths, which ye shall proclaimed in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So the 14th day of the first month, the month of Abib, is dependent on the lunar cycle, ended either in the end of April, the beginning of March. Okay? First, same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. Oh, another Sabbath. You shall do no servile work. Amen? But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord unto 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therefrom. So, the order of the feast days were, you have the Passover, and the first day after the Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the truth is, on the 10th day of the month, the Jews went out and they selected the lamb that they were going to sacrifice at Passover. And they would watch him for 4 days. And during those 4 days, they would look to make sure he had no blemishes. He must be a lamb without blemish. And of course, because he's a type of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is without blemish." And so the lamb that they used for their Passover sacrifice must be without blemish. Jesus Christ is our Passover sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. He must be spotless. So they went out to Jews and they got their lamb. And they brought that lamb back in and watched it for 4 days. They crucified the lamb. The day after the Passover is the 15th. On the 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the foot runs for 7 days. The first day is a holy convocation. It's an extra Sabbath. And the last day is a holy convocation. It's an extra Sabbath. And the first Sunday of whatever week it was is the Feast of First Fruits. Okay? And I have to get that order if you're going to understand it. But it's in your Bible. I'm not making it up. I just read it to you out of Leviticus. Problem comes from people not understanding the time. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He was crucified on Wednesday. He had to be off the cross by Wednesday night at 6 p.m. The reason why he had to be off the cross at 6 p.m. is because a Jew begins his next day at 6 p.m. That starts, remember, a Jew sees time from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. The Gentile, you and I, see time from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. That is not how a Jew kept time. So Jesus gets crucified on Wednesday. He must be off the cross on Wednesday by 6 p.m. because that starts Thursday. So you have the Friday and Saturday at 6 p.m., which to a Jew is Sunday. Saturday night at 6 p.m. to a Jew is Sunday. So Jesus spends 3 days and 3 nights in that tomb, just like he said. When Jesus Christ is crucified on Wednesday, he must come off the cross before Wednesday at 6 p.m., because 6 p.m. starts a new day for the Jews. So he comes off the cross by 6 p.m. Okay? At 6 p.m., Wednesday begins Thursday. You have 6 p.m. Wednesday to 6 p.m. Thursday. 6 p.m. Thursday to 6 p.m. Friday. Friday to Saturday. That's 2 days, Friday to Saturday. So you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Jesus Christ comes off the cross before Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Okay? Let's get that right. So you have Wednesday night, he's off the cross. Wednesday night at 6 p.m. begins Thursday. He's in the tomb all day Thursday, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. He's in the tomb all day Friday, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's 2 days. He's in the tomb all day Saturday, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Because 6 p.m. Jewish time is Saturday night at 6 p.m. begins Sunday morning. 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ said he would be in the whale's belly, just like he said he would do as Jonah did. Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, and Jesus Christ said he would be in that too. That's why John the Baptist called Jesus Christ the Lamb of God. And rightly so. He died on the Passover. Paul said, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. You see? And so the problem becomes they're being wrong about what Sabbath day it was. They read the Bible and say, it says he had to come off the cross because the next day was the Sabbath, so they say, oh, that was Friday Sabbath. Hey, listen, they don't even know what they're talking about. First of all, you have to learn the seven feasts. The fourth day of the month is the Passover. Well, who killed on the Passover? The Lamb, type of Jesus Christ. The Feast of Unleavened Bread starts with a Sabbath day, ends with a Sabbath day, and has 7 days of eating unleavened bread. Paul said, cast the leaven out of the church. Well, leaven is a type of sin. Jesus Christ is the picture of sinless. There's no leaven during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the first Sunday is the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus Christ is the first fruit. Oh, so he raised from the dead. Amen? And so those feast days have a purpose. Then you go 50 days, you're into Pentecost, and you're allowed to use leaven. Why? Because there's leaven in the church. Amen. Well, that's it. Take a short study of those feast days. The Lord spake unto Moses, Leviticus 23. Spake unto the children of Israel, say unto them to turn the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation. Simple English. The King James Version Bible, written between 4th grade and 5th grade English. I get so tired of people saying, I can't understand the these and the now. Then go back to school. Get out of that Christian crib. Put that bottle down. My goodness. God must turn his head and say, what is wrong with these people? You can't read 4th grade English? You go to church and sing, thine is the kingdom. Thou art the Lord. When I get into glory land, hallelujah. Hey, all those words are in the Bible. Wow, the King James is archaic. Hey, listen, archaic. You know when you go to the bank to use the teller, well, what's the teller doing? Counts, right? Counts your money. The Bible says that God tells all the stars. He counts the stars. Stop saying it's archaic. Somebody's got you fooled. Devil will want you to know the truth. Well, you want to read an NIV, which is 60,000 less words than a King James Bible. Where'd those 60,000 words go? Lord have mercy. Says in Leviticus, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation for Sabbath. He shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Verse 4 in Leviticus 23 says this. Now, he gave them the seventh day, told them that's the Sabbath. Then he says, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. Those are like the Sabbath, which ye shall proclaim in their season, in the 14th day of the first month, Abel, at even, is the Lord's Passover. Verse 6, the day after Passover, in the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, in the first day, that's the next day after the Passover, you shall have a holy convocation. Now, brother, that's the Sabbath day. You shall do no servile work therein. So here's what you learn from Leviticus 23. On the 14th day of the first month, April to a Jew, is the Passover. On the 15th day, the day after Passover, is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You have Sabbath on the first and last days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Depending on the day of the week, like when Jesus was crucified on Passover, it was a Wednesday. So you would have two Sabbaths that week, Thursday and Saturday. Well, the other people are trying to teach you, the heretics are teaching, that Christ dies on a Friday, and they fail to take into account the extra Sabbath on Thursday, which starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So when the Bible teaches they had to get Jesus off the cross and into that tomb, because the Sabbath drew near, Luke 23:54, it's not the Saturday Sabbath, but Thursday Sabbath. It's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember, Wednesday at 6 p.m. begins Thursday to a Jew. So Jesus Christ, the Lord, had to be off the cross and into the tomb and the rock sealed by 6 p.m. Wednesday. Or it's a violation of the Jewish law. And Jesus Christ told everyone, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to he said, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. If Jesus Christ stayed on that cross after 6 p.m., on that Sabbath, it would be a violation of Jewish law. And we know Jesus died on a Passover because he ate the Passover meal with his disciples in Matthew 26, 2, 1 and 2. And in verse 30, night, Jesus is arrested and tried at night. He's crucified on Wednesday morning. He's on the cross by 9 a.m. And you need to note that the Jews used a lunar calendar. The Gentiles used a solar calendar. Jews had a 360-day year. A Gentile has a 365-day year. And every few years, how the Jews balanced that 360-day calendar is they would, like we have a leap year, so they would do it every 7 years or so, they would enter what you call intercalculatory days to balance it out. So we need to read it. Jewish law requires Christ to be off the cross by 6 p.m. And you need to read the Jewish execution law. So let's do that. Let's do that real quick and see how this whole thing comes together. So why don't you go with me over to Deuteronomy, and you know that's one of the five books of Moses. And I know there's young Christians listening, and I really, it's very simple if you study the scriptures. And listen, you know, I love my mother, and I love my father, and I love my family, but if anybody ever told you, if my mother and father showed up and told you anything different, you better not believe it. Amen? Well, I'm not. I know what the book says. That's what I believe. And I don't care who's preaching it. Show me it's different in the book. Well, I want you to see this. And that's no disrespect to my parents. But that's somebody I love gratefully. Because I love somebody. And just because they're wonderful people doesn't mean that I put them before God, before God's word. Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 21, 22. We're going to read verses 22 and 23. It says in verse 22, and if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain at night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is a curse of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee and inherit. He has to be buried that day. Okay? Now, you say, well, what's hanging somebody on a tree got to do with Jesus Christ? We're talking about putting a rope around his neck. Okay. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Come on. Come with me. Don't be a blockhead. Don't get tired out on me now. Stick with it. You can do this. You're doing good. Go to Galatians. All right? You say, well, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses say Christ wasn't really crucified the way they say. Hey, listen, hey, you know, that's a bunch of nonsense. You know how Christ was crucified. Look at Galatians 3:13. 3:13. Says this. This is what Paul says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Hallelujah! Praise God! Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Did you read it? So by the Jewish law in Deuteronomy, Christ had to be off the cross before the Sabbath day, before 6 p.m. that night. He's got to come off the cross. It's a violation of Jewish law. Hey, not that they weren't about violating Jewish law, the Pharisees. I mean, they tried twice, and it is the man at night, which is against the Jewish law. But they were with the people. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen. So this thing is teaching, you know, this John, the unique thing is when you read the book of John, John says it was a high day when you're reading the crucifixion account. It was a high day. John is telling you it's a special Sabbath, it's an extra Sabbath. Christ is crucified on Wednesday. That's the Passover. Thursday night at 6 of Unleavened Bread. It's a holy conversation. You can do the work then. He's got to come off the cross by 6 p.m. Jewish time. He in that tomb, the tomb's got to be sealed. Because at 6 o'clock Thursday night to a Jew, I mean 6 o'clock Wednesday night to a Jew is Thursday. Then you count your days. Thursday 6, Friday 6, Saturday 6, 3 days, 3 nights. Just like Jesus said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Amen. Amen. Just 6 hours, Roman time. You know, John was writing to the Gentiles. And he's counting time. You know, you read Mark 15:25, he's counting time like a Jew. Matthew 27:45-46. Christ was crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning. But listen, if you want to have it any other way, you want to count a Gentile time, and you'd be telling people the third hour of the day, and you'd say, oh, Christ was crucified the third hour. You'd say, well, that's 9 o'clock, that's 3 p.m. in the morning. Nah. Stop it. Stop it. Counting time like a Jew. He dies around the ninth hour, somewhere a little after 3 p.m. You know, getting close to 4 or 5, getting close to, got to be in the tomb by 6. So about the hours, our Lord's on the cross, John 19:31-32. Jesus crucified on Passover, and the next day is the high day, Sabbath. Starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Dies on Wednesday. It wasn't a good Friday. It was a bad Wednesday. Amen? Lord, have mercy. Evening in the morning. How many times did God tell you that? He starts the Bible off. He has to come off the cross, and he has to be prepared for his burial. And the rock's got to be over the tomb by 6 p.m. Remember, he's arrested at night beside him at night. Very early in the morning, they bring Jesus to Pilate. When Mary and then showed up, it says it was before dawn, before the sunrise. What is this sunrise service? Worship the Queen of Heaven. Worship the sun. The rising of the sun. That's Baalism. That's paganism. Paganism. There's a day that's honored, you know, by a lot of Christians. It's wrong. We got Easter hams and decorated eggs and stories about rabbits. Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, was a day that commemorated the resurrection of their god, the pagan god called Tammuz. He was believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess, which begins in Babel, with Nimrod. Ham had a son named Cush, and she married a woman named Semiramis. And Cush and Semiramis then had a son named Nimrod. After the death of his father, Nimrod marries his own mother, and he becomes a king. The Bible speaks of this man, Nimrod, in Genesis 10, 8 through 10. It says, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty man in the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of the kingdom of Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Alnath, in the land of Shinar, Iraq, where Iraq is today, that's where Babylon was, Shinar. And Nimrod became a God-man to the people of Semiramis. His wife and his mother became the queen of ancient Babylon. And Nimrod eventually, you know, he was killed by an enemy. His body was cut in pieces and sent to various parts of the kingdom. And Semiramis had the parts, and the missing part was his reproductive organ. And Semiramis claimed that Nimrod could come back to life. He ascended to the sun, and he was called Baal, the sun god. You read it in your Bible, Baal. Baal, how do you read these names and not learn who they are? Semiramis, the queen, she proclaimed that Baal would be present on the earth in a form of a flame, whether a candle, when used in worship. Semiramis created the mystery religion that was helped by Satan. Set herself up to be a goddess. She claimed she was immaculately conceived. Now look, I believe in preaching the truth. The Bible says that the Virgin Mary, after she had Jesus Christ, she had other children. There's no other immaculate conception except Jesus Christ. thought the moon was a goddess, and that it went through a 28th cycle of ovulation. She claimed that she came down from the moon in an egg and fell into the Euphrates River. And it all happened at the time of the first full moon after the equinox. She became known as Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, and her moon egg became known as Ishtar's egg. And Ishtar soon became pregnant and claimed that it was the rays of the sun god Baal that caused her to conceive. And she brought forth Tammuz. You know, Tammuz was killed by a wild pig. But Queen Ishtar told the people he now ascended to his father Baal, the sun god. And they'd worship him with candles and flames. They worshiped the mother of God and the queen of heaven. And it continued, Ishtar. She was now worshipped as the mother of God and queen of heaven. She built a mystery religion. She told the worshippers that Tammuz was killed by a pig and some of his blood fell on a stump of an evergreen tree. And the stump grew into a full leaf tree overnight. And this made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. And she proclaimed 40-day period of time of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. So, I've heard of the people using a term for 40 days called Lent. How did that fit in there? Not biblical. And during that time, no meat was eaten. And her worshippers meditated upon the sacred mysteries of Baal, the sun god, and Tammuz, and they made the sign of the T in front of their hearts as they worshipped. And they also ate sacred cakes with the marking of the key for Tammuz on the top, or top, the cross of their buns, they put it, the bread buns. And every year on the first Sunday after the full moon, it was made. It was Ishtar Sunday, and was celebrated with rabbits and eggs, fertility. And Ishtar also proclaimed that because Tammuz was killed by a pig, that a pig must be eaten on that Sunday. Now, let me ask you this question. Does that sound funny? Doesn't that sound like paganism has infiltrated the contemporary churches? Easter has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter can be as much as 3 weeks away from the Passover, because a pagan holiday is always set on the first Sunday after the full moon. So people say, well, why is the word Easter in the King James Bible? Well, the word Easter is in the King James Bible, and it belongs there, not changed like the New King James Version did. It belongs there because it is a pagan holiday. And in Acts 12, King Herod, who was evil, is planning a celebration for Easter, not for the Christians. The true Passover and pagan Easter, sometimes they coincide, but some years, there's a great distance apart. You know, God is a spirit, and they that worship and worship in spirit and in truth. The 40 days of Lent, eggs, rabbits, hot cross buns, and Easter ham have everything in the world to do with ancient pagan religion of mystery Babylon, the Antichrist activity, and Satan is the master deceiver of the people and Christianity. Children of God are sitting there in sunrise service waiting for Baal and don't even know it. Tricked by those leading them. Shame on you for not reading your Bible. God gave you his word so you can know the word of God. Not just follow a bunch of people and fall off into the ocean, fall off a cliff. What has God got to do with the works of Satan? What has God got to do with Baalism? What has God got to do with sunrise service? Christ rose at 6 p.m. on Saturday night. You want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's fine as a Christian. Don't call it Easter sunrise. Don't call it Easter service. We're not pagans. Let's just come to church for Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. He lives. And you know what? Some of you are teaching your children that stuff instead of telling the truth. You're afraid to hurt their feelings. You don't want to steal the joy of Easter, or you don't want to steal the joy of paganism from your children. You'd rather have them celebrate and participate in satanic activities because they found joy in it. God have mercy on your soul. You will answer for that, my Christian brother. The world may not know it, but you know it. Honor Baal, awful Satan, worship of the rising sun. Didn't you ever hear the song, The House of the Rising Sun? What do you think they're talking about? Been the ruin of many a poor boy, the rising sun. But listen, Jesus Christ comes from the east. And Jesus Christ is mentioned as the Son of Righteousness, which is arising upon you in Hosea. Because in the Son you find the Trinity. Light ray, X-ray, heat ray. Capital S-U-N. But not the Son. A type of Christ. We don't worship sunrise service. We're waiting for the sun to come. It'll be a rapture and we'll be gone. Amen? And when he comes back to Jerusalem in his second advent, when he comes back with his army, he'll go through the east gate. I believe he'll come from Mount Sinai up the same path up along the Jordan. He'll come across the Jordan, and he'll come smack dab over there into the mount, step upon it, the Mount of Olives. It'll have to be like the Bible says. Amen. You cannot change the scriptures. You'd rather go to church Sunday, listen to some good music, some rock and roll, have a good time, and to get a fuzzy wuzzy and go home instead of hearing the word of God. Shame on you. And these pastors playing church, stealing your parishioners' money, bingo in the basement, carnivals in the rec. What's the matter with you? Got to preach the new gospel. Get right with Jesus, everything will be okay. Hey, the gospel message of death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible's a bloody book. It starts with blood in the Bible in the beginning, with the murder of Abel. It starts with the sacrifice of Adam and Eve and the lamb, and it runs all the way through that bloodline to the second advent of Jesus Christ. Blood, blood, blood. And then they say, Pastor, why don't you preach on love? Why, you don't want me to preach the truth? You ought to know all of the love of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are you going to answer to God? Write it on a piece of paper and hand that to Jesus when you get there. I was out with my children rolling Easter eggs on the lawn. Cut it out. How many churches have sunrise service? The change. Oh, David said, I'd rather be the keeper of the gate of the Lord. You're not a joke. Judgment Day is not a joke. James, saying my brother in a fool. Now look, you say, well, what are we doing, Christians? Hey, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Come together Sunday, the first day of the week, Jesus Christ walked in our room, told a peace to you. Go to church, have some peace in your heart. Go as your regular time. Don't go out and sit on the ocean and wait for some sunrise service facing the east. Go out there and participate in that nonsense teaching of Jesus Christ died on Friday and he rose Sunday morning. That's a lie, is a lie, is a lie right out of hell. I wonder why God's so angry. This country, the United States of America, papers in the hearts of the founding fathers of this country, desired to serve God Almighty, left the oppression of England, left the oppression of the Roman Catholic Church, left the oppression of the Anglicans, left the oppression of all that nonsense, the higher and lower churches, came to the United States, formed a better country where a man could live by his conscience and do what was right, serve his God without impediment, and you sit around and you allow laws to be made on abortion, and you don't object to it, you don't even pray about it. The shame in this country is going on. You Christians need to be ashamed of yourself. Well, somebody else will do it. You are that somebody. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't say for your brother to go. He didn't say for your mother to go. He said for you to go. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You don't dress like an ambassador. You don't act like an ambassador. You don't speak like an ambassador for Jesus Christ. What's your problem? Quit playing with God. That's why you don't know when Jesus resurrected. You're too busy playing church. I've got to go to work. Hey, listen, pick that Bible up and read it. I'm too busy. I got a family. Well, how about having family Bible time? Let's start in the book of Genesis and read a chapter a night. Amen. Read a verse. Get the Spirit of God in your heart. Get the Word of God in your heart. And you'll live for Christ Jesus. Saved by grace. And we're responsible for what we hear. We're responsible for what we know. Paul said you cannot drink the cup of the devil and the cup of the Lord. It's two different cups. What cup are you drinking from? Lord have mercy. So you get awful excited, Dr. Ventura. Yeah, well, your problem is you're not excited enough. You'll go sit in the baseball stadium, you'll watch football, you'll watch wrestling, you'll watch sports, and you'll holler, go team, go team. But you wouldn't yell for Jesus Christ. You wouldn't tell a person next to you to shut his filthy mouth. You got to follow him off. You'll compromise your Christian walk and let them all swear around you. You're a phony Christian. You're a mushroom. You need to cut it out. You know who you are. Quit playing with God. Preach on love. You got to preach on time. Hey, listen, there's a time to preach on the love of God, and there's a time to preach on the mercy of God, and there's a time to preach on the grace of God, but the Bible hasn't left out the wrath of God. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than he did any other subject in the Bible. Why is that? You can't talk like that, Pastor. No. Why? You'll offend somebody. Listen, the gospel's negative. Mostly negative. Death of Jesus Christ. Burial of Jesus Christ. There's two negative things. And the resurrection. That's a positive thing. Two negatives and a positive. That's the gospel lesson. Your problem is you're too soft. You're still drinking milk. And you know, hey, listen, if you're a spiritual adult and you're spiritually mature, well, then you know what? You need to help your brethren out that are less spiritually mature. If you're offended by that, if it doesn't apply to you, don't let it apply to you. Church, if you hear a sermon and you say, oh, well, you know, I didn't like the way that guy talked to me. I don't like the way he said this. And if he's hey, listen, he's the man of God. He's the man of God. That's why you went to church, because you believed you were going to hear from God, not from a man. Well, I have to listen to that. Well, yeah, you should listen to it. That's what they told Moses. You take too much on yourself. And God told Moses, and I'm rebelling against you, Moses. They're rebelling against me. You know, listen to your pastor. Week after week, day after day, class after class, preaching to you from the Word of God, preaching the Scriptures to you, and you go on and on the same way down the road, flipping God off. That's what you're doing. They didn't listen. Listen, the people in Nineveh had more sense. Jonah came there, and they were a wicked city, and Jonah walked through telling them that God was going to bring judgment. They not only went out and put sackcloth on and fasted and prayed, they put it on their animals. Lord have mercy. You get before God every day with the same prayer and the same nonsense. Oh, God, bless this one. Oh, God, bless that one. Oh, God, bless the judge. And if you haven't suffered persecution, if you didn't suffer persecution in some way or manner today, you're not serving God. In the world, you shall have persecution. God said he overcame it, so let it flow in your heart. Give a little. You won't give all. You'll give some. You won't give all. You'll give what's convenient. You don't give all. You're all comfortable in your material life. You Christians are walking around. You live in nice homes. You live in nice cars you drive. You live in financially okay. You might have a few bills, but you know what? You won't reach out to somebody else unless it's within your comfort zone. You'll answer to God for that. Those people around you need help, genuinely need help. Christians coming to the church seeking help. You won't even receive them. Demons. It's a shame what's going on in Christianity today. 250 parishioners in the church. I brought a girl there one day and told them that this girl just came out of prison, didn't believe her. She loves Jesus Christ. All she has is a room, one little room, and an air mattress I bought her. She needs help. 250 people. You know who showed up? One person with some clothes. Don't give up your own clothes. Shame on that church. And shame on that pastor that doesn't know how to teach the people to love. The love of Christ constraineth us. All pastors do on a hall. Hey, listen, God's angry. God's angry with this lukewarm stuff. You know what it says in Revelation. Because you're neither hot nor cold. I'll spew you out of my mouth. God will vomit you out. Better to be hot, better to be cold. Don't play with God and be lukewarm. Lord, have mercy. This stuff's going on too long in the Christian churches. People running around playing, selling you healing oil. Going to sell you a bottle of oil for $20 for 20 miracles, peddling the word of God. That's why they put in that in those new Bibles. We're not those, as it said, corrupt the word of God, but they change it in the new Bibles to peddle the word of God. You know why? They got a guilty conscience because they're peddling the word of God. You can buy a miracle in a bottle, and you people are spending your money doing it. What's wrong with you? How many bottles of miracles did Jesus walk around handing out for $20? You're going to go listen to some preachers tell you that nonsense. You need to wake up. Prayer cloth. Well, we prayed over it. It's anointed with the Holy Spirit. Put it in your pocket and you're going to get healed. Find out. Quit praying with God. The shame that goes on in the Christian circle. The music modernized, contemporary. All the hymns of God and the gorgeous music the Lord made, voodoo in Africa, where they play the drums and they raise the demons and added that to your music, got women parading in pants up front of your, by your altar, playing music with pants tied all over them, body forming, disgusting. Where's the glory to God in that? You're a married woman, your body belongs to your husband. You're a married woman, your body belongs to your husband. You're a married man. Your body belongs to your wife. Who are you wearing clothes like that for? Who are you trying to attract? Another man? You wanted another man to look at you. You shouldn't have got married. Don't marry to Jesus Christ. That goes to you men, too. Walking around like sissies, hair down to your neck, claiming you're a man. Nobody could tell standing behind you. Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You know why you're mad at me tonight? Because you don't like what I got to say. But I don't care you don't like what I got to say. Because what I got to say is what the Bible says. They didn't like what Jesus had to say. They tried to stone him. They took him and they tried to trick him. They crucified my Lord. They didn't like what he had to say. They got rid of him, they get rid of the voice. They got rid of him, they get rid of the conviction. They got rid of him, they get rid of the guilt. That's what you want to do. You want to leave the church. You want to run away. Instead of saying, maybe God's speaking to me, and I need to change my heart. And maybe some of the things that pastor said apply to me. Maybe they don't. And if they don't, well, I'm good with God in that. Amen. Well, thank you, pastor, for telling us the truth. Got some seed money? Hey, listen, tithing's great. Amen. Giving your offerings, and as the Lord prospered you, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. Bible says you'll get it, your reward here or in heaven. You can't outgive God. There's no doubt about that. You've never heard me ask for a tithe on this program. God supports it. Going into churches and all a lot of times, I don't get $1 million, God's going to kill me. Cut it out. You think God would say that? I was looking at $1 million. God had Isaiah and the wood, Elijah, and the ravens fed him. Some people are just gullible. Women running around with bob hairs and being bossy. Bible says your women rule over you and your children oppress you. That's why. The shame. These men need to miss you. Some of you women know better. I know what day Christ died. But you just want to have a good feeling. You want to go to music. You don't want to get out of your comfort zone. You don't want the preacher to tell you about it. The word sermon means to stab. Preachers not the same. But they're all preachers who are preaching the call of God, the word of God. And if they're preaching you anything else, get out of it. Find a Bible believing church. Well, my mother goes to this. Hey, listen, doesn't matter if your mother goes there. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has children. Well, that's what we get all our life. Well, it's time to change. You know the truth. How long? Oh, geez, between two opinions. We don't go to church and sing, I surrender some. I surrender some. You sing, I surrender all. All. You don't want to surrender any. People calling you up and telling you, your church pastors, wives, and families calling you up and telling you, people that need help. Can you help a friend? Can you help this one for us? They're good Christians. They love the Lord. I don't know anybody. You don't know anybody? I don't know anybody. 500 people in the church. You don't know anybody? I don't know anybody. Well, there's something wrong here. You tell me what's wrong. Where's your charity? You know why there's nobody there? Because they're all too comfortable. You're not going to sacrifice for another person. Can I give my tithe? Yeah, that's about all you give. And half of you don't even pay that. You give some of it. It's your duty, right? Wrong. Couldn't open a bedroom for an extra person. Well, he'd have to move out of that room. Like, so what? Double the kids up for a night. Long as they're boy and boy and girl and go, who cares? Put them up in a motel. Have some kindness and mercy. There's a disgrace going on in Christianity today. A filthy disgrace. And you listen, I'm no better than you. But I'll tell you what, I read my book. I know when Christ died, and I know when he resurrected. And I'm not fooled anymore, but I was once, and so are some of you. We need to come up out of this. We're all sinners saved by grace, but that's not the liberty. You use the liberty of God for the glory of God, not to sin. So you're going on a long time, Pastor, and it's not going along the Holy Spirit moves you. Hallelujah. Paul preached for hours and hours and hours. He preached so long, the man fell out, fell out of the balcony, fell asleep. After you go to church, fall asleep. And I don't like the people there. I don't like the way they saw. They're looking at me funny, and their hat's prettier than mine. And the pastor didn't shake my hand this morning. And I don't like them. I'm scared. Much to the thing is not offended, the Lord said. Get on down the road. Do what you're supposed to do for the Lord. How come you didn't know Christ died on a Wednesday? Come on. Lord, mercy. Hey, listen, I get frustrated. But it's not my personal flesh that's frustrated. It's the Spirit of God that gets you inside me that burns when I see the nonsense going on in the world. My Christian brothers aren't doing anything about it. Not even in their own churches. Not even caring for one another. I heard from a prisoner last night. He said that his brother, which was really in prison, he made $10 every 2 weeks. He always put our money together, and he put money aside for new Christian men who were coming in and for men who would get saved and for charity and to help others. Out of our $10, he pulled it. So he always had something they could write home to their families. They could have food. They could have something. And they said, we thank you, Brother Peter, for teaching us to love one another. And I said, you didn't learn that from me. You learned that from God. The Holy Spirit taught you that. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, generous, peace, and this is the fruit of the Spirit. There's men in prison. They have nothing. And yet they show more charity and love towards each other than some of these people that live in mansions out here. It's a shame. That girl had nothing I brought for that church. You didn't even tell me you couldn't open your cabinet and get a plastic drinking cup out for her? Shame. Shame. Loving in words and not in deeds. Brother Andrew.
Yes.
You still there?
I'm here.
Amen. Well, I know this, brother. There's somebody out there that doesn't know Jesus. There's somebody out there that needs to rededicate their lives to Christ. And I would ask, brother, that you would pray for them, please.
Fine, sermon, brother. Let me tell you, this is Brother Andrew, Reverend Andrew from South Carolina, talking with you tonight. And God says, study to show thyself approved, and I've always maintained that with my preaching. And I say tonight, if your heart is empty and you have tried everything, or I'm talking to certain people that you may have Jesus in your heart and your whole life will change. If you're ready to repent right now, I ask you to say this to yourself and accept him in your heart. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to earth. He suffered on the cross and died on the cross. And 3 days after that, he resurrected. That's how simple it is, ladies and gentlemen out there. Even if you're saved and you want to renew your conviction, do it. Do it now. This is your chance out of all your lifetime, out of all your lives, that this is the day, the hour, to receive Jesus. And it's not hard to do. Satan makes it very hard because he puts things into the mind of the human being. Don't believe anything he says. You want to have peace that passes all understanding, then you are saved if you repeat it after what I have just said to you. I love you, and I hope to see you all someday, and you know where. God bless you.
Amen, and God bless you, my brother, and I thank you for standing in the wings and waiting for the opportunity. That's my brother Andrew Anoski, and his wife's name is Nona, in the ministry. Brother Andrew's been up and down the East Coast. He's been out west. He's sacrificed his time. He's sacrificed his money. And, you know, it's really the Lord. He's given us to you. And we thank Brother Andrew for being there for us, to give that invitation. And, yeah, Brother Andrew said, if you don't know Jesus Christ, today is a good day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No one has to go to hell. You won't go to hell for being a murderer. You won't go to hell for being a rapist. You won't go to hell for being a robber. You won't go to hell for being a thief. The only thing that will send you to hell is the rejection of Jesus Christ to save your soul. And if you reject that salvation, then God will reject you. It's your choice, not God's. He's giving you free will. And you just do what Brother Andrew says. Just ask Jesus Christ. Tell him you're sorry for your sins and pain, and receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because he says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll be. Amen. You'll be saved. And you have salvation. That's the promise of God's own word. And if you've done that, you can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I would be more than happy to hear from you. Brother Andrew would love to hear from you. You can reach me at 203-240-0377. So you can call into the station and leave a message. Brother Nathan's in the back, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to thank Brother Nathan. I want to thank you, Brother Andrew, for all you do and for heeding the call of the Lord in your life. Very grateful for that.
I thank you very much, Peter. God bless you, brother.
I thank God for my fellow laborers who stand for the word day and night. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, we're in hard. It's really an exuberant time to be a Christian. There's a lot of heartache, but there's a lot of reward. And, the rewards outweigh the pain. And so we want to pray for Nona tonight. I have a few prayers for us. We want to pray for Andrew's wife, Nona, for their health and for Brother Andrew. We want to also pray for his ministry and finances. We want to pray for Randy, another name Randy, And he's an unspoken player. He would like some prayers. And we want to thank those people that play with us and play for us. We'd ask Father God to answer those prayers in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We've seen miracles this week. We just want to claim this. Speak of all those things and give us great faith. He says, and he's good, but he just don't have a point. And we thank the Lord. I thank my wife, Marilyn, who, you know, you it's a blessing to have a woman. If you're looking for a wife and you're going to church, don't go choose a wife. Let God do it for you. Let God find you a wife. Let God find a husband for you. God knows what you need. Not necessarily. You may know what you want, but God knows what you need. And when God brings that person into your life, the wonderful thing, you know it's from God. And don't rush into marriage. Wait for the Lord to make the choice for you. And you'll know when it's right. Amen. You know, my wife is such a great help to me that one day I was going to broadcast from the station, and, you know, I know nobody can see me. We're not Skyping here. And my wife said, "You're not dressed yet." I was in a pair of jeans, and I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You're not dressed yet. You need to get dressed. You represent God." And I said, "You're right." So I went and got my suit out and put my tie on, you're a man of God, and you should remember that you represent God. And I want to tell you, there is one other thing I'd like to say in the final announcement this evening. I'd like to say this. When I scroll up the internet tonight, I noticed that sometimes there's ads, and I want you to know that Nathan on the Spot and myself, I'm a guest. I'm a guest of Enterprise Media, and this is a guest spot for me. Enterprise Media, myself, and Nathan do not have control sometimes of some of these ads that come out there. Some of them. And so I want to make an apology to anybody who might have came on the internet and saw some books that were advertised and some things that were not of sound doctrine. I have no control over that. This is the media outlet right now that God has blessed me with, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful that I can speak to Christians and to help them along. That's the goal. You know, I don't want to, you know, just club somebody in the head. Although Ezra, what they do is that, but the truth is that I just wanted to make that apology, and because we don't have control over it. That's the Blog Talk Radio and some of those ads and things. And, you know, I mean, that's why I prefer, you know, I tell people, you know, go on the telephone. Call in on the number. Call the number and speak to us. In fact, you can call in, you know, the number is 347-945-5416. You can call in the beginning, the middle, the end of the program. I know I didn't take a break. We started 15 minutes late. But the Lord put some things on my heart. And I hope you all got a good understanding about Resurrection Day coming up. And so I hope you glorify the Lord in your church. And remember that, you know, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. We are all on the way to hell. Amen. You have a good night, Brother Andrew.
Good night, dear Peter. God bless you.
God bless you, and good night. Good night, Brother Hill. Thank you. Hoping to get down.
Put those hands together all across the building tonight. Let the devil know that you encourage. Let him know that you encourage. Let him know.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but somebody may be crying, but I come to let you know that God can make it all right. It's impossible to see, but God is gonna work it out if you just see.
if God delivered Daniel, guess what? He'll do the same for you, 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 you. Hey.
No matter what's going on,
no matter what's going on,
he'll make it all right.
Said it in his word. Just a test of your faith. So stand strong and dry your weeping eyes. Cause joy comes in the morning and everything is gonna be alright.
All right. He said, I'll make it all right.